So thanks. That's a hard act to follow. I want to just thank Asim for covering almost everything that I now no longer have to cover. And what Asim has kind of told you a lot about is what has been done to you. And what I want to talk about is some sensitive stuff, some strong language. And I understand that here in Sweden, these words are might seem very strong to some, but this is the name of this technology. I did not invent this name. This is the technology that's been deployed on you over the last 3 years, and all of us. And at the start, I also want to give a shout out for your nation and for your public health leadership. Really, to the rest of the world, what happened here was unique. There was more of a willingness, even though nothing's perfect, to stay grounded in public health policy, sound public health policy, avoid a lot of the extreme measures that have been propagated throughout the Western world. And it's so easy for us to focus on the bad, but I just want to give a moment and acknowledge the good that's happened here. The rest of the world has benefited from the courage of those that have stood up and advocated for public health policies that did not include a lot of these harsh measures for our children. And I think because of that courage, the world has had a comparator to show that we really didn't have to have a lot of these egregiously harsh policies that have been deployed on all of us. The COVID crisis has revealed a modern battleground in which molding, controlling, and capturing your thoughts, emotions, and beliefs are the objective. I'm going to speak about fifth-generation warfare. As I said, this is not a term that I invented. Fifth-generation warfare is the new battleground, and it has been deployed by military, largely, and intelligence communities on the entire Western world in an amazingly harmonized fashion during the COVID crisis. Fifth-generation warfare is a war of information and perception. A strange game. The only winning move is not to play. The basic idea is that in the modern era, wars are not fought by armies or guerrillas, but in the minds of common citizens. Your mind is the new battleground. This is not hyperbole. This is standard military strategy. And unfortunately, the United States has led in the West in our response. The European Union has largely followed American leadership, quote unquote. And in America, the management of this crisis was not primarily driven, the data now show, the documents show, was not driven by Health and Human Services. It was driven by the U.S. Department of Defense and basically the national security state. Homeland Security domestically, our intelligence community, Department of Defense, the National Security Administration. That's how it came into the White House, and that's how it got delegated and managed. And as often happens, I like to say, when you give a three-year-old a hammer, everything becomes a nail. And we have this new powerful technology that's been developed and deployed offshore for resisting fourth-generation warfare, which is the insurgencies. The United States has lost essentially every single insurgent war since Vietnam that it's engaged in. And it has now tried to transform that battlefield metaphor into what we now call fifth-generation warfare. And as they've developed those tools for offshore in information management and psyops, for whatever reason, they determined that it was appropriate to deploy it on their own citizens in the context of what they determined was a national health emergency, which they responded to as if it was a national security emergency. So my goal here is to help you to understand this new environment, the technology that was deployed, and eventually to get to the point that I want to make, which is that those of us that are awake And I hope that this lecture will help awaken you even more. Those of us that are awake can become empowered by understanding this technology and employing it for our side, for the sake of truth, honesty, for spreading the type of information that Asim just shared with you. We're in a new information ecosystem. It's a new technology space, and for protest movements, the methods that were employed during the 20th century, centralized leadership, protest movements, is now completely obsolete. We have to come, if we're going to win this, and I'm sure most of this audience appreciates that the COVID crisis is just a skirmish. The battle is much, much larger than what we're just talking about here. And if we're going to win this battle, we have to understand the battleground. We have to understand their playing field. We have to understand their technology, their strategies, their tactics. We need to assimilate them, and we need to respond to them not by assimilating their ethics, but by deploying technology that's appropriate for this new battle space. Okay, that's where I'm coming from. Precursors to fifth-generation warfare. The first accidental fifth-generation conflict was Arab Spring. Many people may not appreciate that Arab Spring was employed by the U.S. government to test, deploy some of their new technologies for manipulating thought, behavior, and action. Those key technologies we call social media. Twitter was intentionally deployed during Arab Spring. Twitter is a weapon. It is not a business. Facebook is used as a weapon. It has intrinsic capabilities. When you think to yourself, I've been shadow banned, okay? That language is kind of irrelevant. You're personalizing it. These tools are used to shape the information landscape, the cloud of information, your contacts, who's talking to who, what they're allowed to say, how they're allowed to say it, with specific intentions to shape the direction of thought and emotion. There are tools embedded within that in the analytics that extract emotional content out of every single thing you tweet and derive from that understandings of what your personal emotional landscape is, and allows that to be manipulated by what you are then exposed to, what your eyes see. Okay? These are weapons. Understand that. In the case of Arab Spring, it was almost fifth-generation warfare, except it lacked a couple of the key elements. We actually knew who the antagonists were. In true fifth-generation warfare, you do not know who your opponent is. Example, who is responsible for, who's the puppet master behind the COVID crisis as we've experienced it? Who is it? Anybody here know? Was it Klaus? No. There's something above Klaus. Was it Biden? Was it Tony Fauci? These are all surrogates. Okay? You don't really know who is managing the message that has been propagated on you. That's fifth generation warfare. Over the last 3 years, Western governments, non-governmental organizations, transnational organizations, pharmaceutical industry corporations, media and financial corporations have cooperated via public-private partnerships, which I assert is a euphemism for fascism, to deploy the most massive, globally harmonized psychological and propaganda operation in the history of the world. Okay? Over the last 3 years, you have been subjected to the most massive, harmonized, globally coordinated propaganda campaign in the history of the Western world. Full stop. My mouth is getting dry talking about these things. I do feel a little passionate. With this campaign, the governments of many Western nation states have turned, okay, this is key, military-grade psychological operations strategies, tactics, technologies, and capabilities developed for modern military combat against their own citizens. These are inconvenient facts. The world that many of us believed existed no longer exists if it ever did. For me, the stunning bookend is this recent revelation on Tucker Carlson that the first thing that I remember as a young person born in 1959, the assassination of John F. Kennedy, was probably propagated in significant part by the United States intelligence community. Okay? And we have been lied to about that my whole life. Welcome to fifth generation warfare. The battlefield is your mind. There are weapons. This has been anticipated. We've had a series of writings, and I hesitate to include our own book at the end. I in no way imply that it is of equal to 1984 and Brave New World or the work of Hannah Arendt. It's a continuation in that theme, is my point. Before fourth and fifth generation warfare, modern warfare between states was a duel on larger scale, a continuation of politics by other means, with core elements of rationality of the state, probability in military command, and rage of the population, Clausewitz. Okay? The only thing that remains there is the rage of the population. Rational state actors, we're in an environment in which the nation state is treated as an obsolete entity. We have a new vague cloud of globalist leadership that we can't even put our fingers on. We don't really know who's driving it. Probability in military command, we have an environment in which the military command is confused, it's diffuse, and the battleground is constantly shifting. In today, the very nature of fifth-generation warfare is that it's difficult to define. As Clark says, any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic, and that is the fifth-gen warfare battlefield. Now, here's the flow of the talk. The thesis is that Western nations have globally deployed military-grade psyops on their citizens during the COVID crisis, and my intention is to convince you of that and to help you to comprehend the inner meaning of that, and then to help you to see how that can be turned to your advantage. We're going to have evidence. A definition of common terms. This is such a bizarre psychological landscape that it's difficult to even process. We have to have language, we have to have common language and understanding to even be able to comprehend what's been done to us. What is meant by military-grade psyops or fifth-generation warfare? I'm going to give you a video example from the U.S. military psyops so that you have a comprehension of what is being deployed globally. What are fifth-generation warfare strategies and tactics that are relevant to the COVID crisis? This, like the somebody made a joke about our book, The Lies My Government Told Me, is nowhere near long enough. It needs to be the size of an encyclopedia. Likewise, strategies and tactics for fifth-gen warfare. I'm just going to give you some examples. Observations regarding organization and leadership in this new battleground and choosing between being a victim and a warrior. Okay, we do not have to be victims. What are the gradients or generations of warfare? The concept of generation is really not accurate. This is a blend of gradients. In first-generation warfare, we have the ancient battles of Europe, historically, bows and arrows and swords. That was made obsolete by muskets. Then we had organized battle lines, even trench warfare in second-gen. Then we moved to organized battle with gunpowder, and that was made obsolete by the German Blitzkrieg. Then we had mechanized warfare focused on speed and maneuverability, the German strategy that allowed them to be so dominant early in World War II. What made that obsolete? I mean, that's what was deployed with the shock and awe campaigns in the United States against Saddam Hussein, among others. That was one of the last major tank battles. And we're still seeing some of that, for instance, going on in Ukraine right now. But that was made obsolete by terrorism, this new technology for asymmetric warfare that has beaten the United States every single time. That is fourth generation warfare. That is a mixture of kinetic and psyops, of information warfare and kinetic warfare, and it is still fighting over territory, control of territory in fourth gen. The internet has changed everything, as we all know. Now we're in a battle space where the battleground is literally your mind. It is what you think, it is what you feel, it is what motivates you. That can all be manipulated and is manipulated on a daily basis. You experience it, of course, historically through what we call in the States Madison Avenue, advertising technology, as Asim was talking about, processed foods. This is taking the psychological basis for advertising and manipulation of behavior and thought and weaponizing it against all of us in an industrial way, using this amazing information distribution platform. What's going to displace this? Who knows? But right now, that's what we're in. The composition of warfare is changing. The traditional methods of waging war are evolving. Conventional techniques are in decline. Opportunities to use kinetic weapons have become highly restricted. This is why this has to happen. We're seeing it in Ukraine, but for the rest of the world, people are not at liberty to go ahead and engage in armed warfare in the traditional way. They've had to seek newer tactics and tools, such as information warfare, asymmetric warfare, media propaganda warfare, hybrid warfare. That's the new environment we're in. And the traditional clear divisions between combatant and non-combatant and between wartime and peacetime have become gradients. We are all both combatants and non-combatants. Everything, the entire landscape, has become a battleground. All nation states, everything. When seeking to understand what this means, you're forced to enter this bizarre, shifting, surreal psychological terrain. To understand it, you must temporarily suspend and restructure what you thought you knew about truth, ethics, media, information, social organization, business, government, and the military. Okay, there in this total warfare landscape, there are no ethics. When Asim talks about what we've been subjected to, all of us have been subjected to, Ryan Cold has been subjected to. Okay, there are no ethics. There are no ethical boundaries to what they will do. It is all about the utilitarian means justify the ends. Okay? And you have to, for many of us, it's shocking. You cannot conceive of a world in which there are no ethical boundaries. You can't conceive of warfare in which there's no guardrails. There's no consensus about the rules of engagement. But that's what we're in right now. You have to completely park any idea of justice, right and wrong. All that is obsolete in this battlefield environment. As you step into this hellscape, set aside obsolete notions of fairness and rules. This is total unrestricted information warfare, and you've been subjected to it for the last 3 years. 20th century organizational norms and social activism methods based on centralized leadership have become outdated and obsolete. Get rid of them. That's how we lose. We are in a war of information and perception, which targets your cognitive biases, the cognitive biases of individuals and organizations. That is the target. To transform those cognitive biases in ways that are in the interests of the opponent, who in ideal fifth generation warfare, you never even know who they are. To create new cognitive biases and propagate it out into the population without their being aware that it's being done to them. This is completely different from classical warfare. It focuses on the individual observer and decision makers. It's difficult or impossible to attribute. It is truly leaderless and decentralized, which makes it incredibly powerful because no one can be taken out. The nature of the attack is completely concealed. You never see it coming. What are the characteristics? Ambiguity of the opposing force. I've said this. Ambiguity of the attack vector. You don't know what's being done to you and how it's being done. Dopamine loops. These are the hits that you get on social media. Click, click, click. Oh, they like that. Oh, they didn't like that. Oh, look how popular I am. Dopamine loops. Triggering existing cognitive biases in the targets by choosing words that trigger you in a positive and negative way is how you are manipulated and influenced, how your thinking is shaped. I mentioned Arab Spring before. This was solidified. It was the power of this technology and this approach was clearly demonstrated during the 2016 U.S. election. And now the lessons from that have been deployed worldwide. The 2021 Israeli-Palestinian conflict was the first example of 5GW in kinetic battle. Don't get the idea that information fifth-generation warfare exists in isolation. It is a continuum. It's a spectrum. You can still have kinetic activities. You still have all the other portfolio. But this is a different battlefield landscape in the extreme. An example of pure fifth-generation warfare is Havana Syndrome. Do you remember the people in the embassy in the United States suddenly had these psychological effects, these headaches? Nobody knew where they came from. Nobody knew how it was happening. The State Department denies that it even happens. Nobody knows who did it. This is an example of a perfect fifth-generation warfare weapon. Now I'm going to talk just a moment about sovereignty and what this means. What is sovereignty? Supreme power over a body politic. Sovereignty is what the African states invoked to resist the international health regulations that were being propagated on them last year. Thank God for Africa and Brazil. Its sovereignty is freedom from existing control, from external control, freedom from controlling influence. Okay, now let's think about sovereignty. You know, we talk about sovereign, autonomous nation states. Those are treated as obsolete now. The World Economic Forum does not recognize that as the future of human organization. They want a globalist, unelected, centralized command economy, fourth industrial revolution, transhumanism world. And we've all seen that movie. If the unlimited warfare battleground is for control of your mind, thoughts, and emotions, and all rules of engagement or ethical boundaries are obsolete, then what does sovereignty even mean? What is world health when public health policy and pharmaceutical interventions are transformed into just another fifth-generation warfare weapon? I'm blowing it with my timing. Here's the evidence. Militaries all over the Western world have been deployed against us. They're the ones that have been managing all this propaganda we've been subjected to. What does this look like?
As the world watches and listens in horror, the peaceful pro-democracy demonstration in China comes to a violent and bloody end.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
There is another very important phase of warfare. It has as its target not the body, but the mind of the enemy.
The target of psychological warfare is against the enemy's mind.
It is words and ideas.
The ammunition used by Cywar.
Its mission is to influence the thoughts of the enemy soldiers, and at the same time
is expected and encouraged to study foreign languages and the social sciences such as history, economics, and sociology. He must have a broad and sympathetic understanding of all phases of human experience.
Gripping at my skin, the walls of night closing.
But the use of this force as an integral part of combat has now taken on new form.
Do not be naive.
Do you understand? That is what we're dealing with. Okay? That is what is being deployed globally. There's some core terms. You have to understand what an OODA loop is. How many of you saw the new Tom Hanks movie with the jets where they're talking about you have to feel emotionally and act immediately? That's OODA loop strategy. Okay, learn what this term means. Deploy it in social media. Understand the Milgram experiment and the Ash experiment. These have clearly demonstrated the ability to manipulate the human mind and human behavior in ways that are far beyond what we assimilate within our own souls as what we would do, and yet we will. Understand lockstep. Discussed in a 2010 Rockefeller Foundation report, lockstep was the idea of using a pandemic to impose tighter top-down control modeled after the Chinese social credit system. This is not a conspiracy theory, folks. This has been planned, discussed, and deployed. Understand what the Five Eyes Alliance are. This is fascinating. When you think about the landscape right now and think about what has been the most egregious deployment of totalitarian measures in response to the corona crisis, what are the nations that come to mind? Australia, Canada, New Zealand. I argue that all three of those are now captured client states of the World Economic Forum. They are no longer functioning as autonomous national entities. The United Kingdom and the United States. What ties them together? The Five Eyes Alliance. This security consortium, okay? They share data among each other, and when they are prohibited from acting against their own citizens, they have reciprocal arrangements so that, for instance, MI5 acts against United States citizens, CIA, NSA, and other U.S. agencies act against U.K. citizens. This is this reciprocal Five Eyes Alliance. It is the most powerful intelligence organization in the world, and it's largely dominating global politics through exactly the type of strategies and tactics you just saw with that film. Okay? These people are trained to manipulate your mind. Now, I'm going to skip this one. This is a clip that just shows how actively my Wikipedia page was manipulated. But what's fascinating about that is if you track back and look at who did the manipulation, it's a sock puppet. And the sock puppet appears to be closely allied with MI5. Okay? The same sock puppet manipulated Pierre Corey's virtually every page having to do with the use of ivermectin on Wikipedia. Same people did it. Same organization. The Overton window. Okay? The range of policies politically acceptable to the mainstream population at a given time is known as the window of discourse. Fifth generation information warfare methods seek to actively manipulate the Overton window to constrain what we are allowed to talk about. That's when you talk about gaslighting and these various techniques, the manipulation in the media, the redefinition of language that's used, right? Vaccination is no longer vaccination. An anti-vaxxer is anybody who is against mandates. Okay, this is active manipulation of the Overton window. That's how it's done. What is acceptable political discourse? The Dunning-Kruger effect is employed on a daily basis. People have a tendency to think they're smarter than they are, that they're more competent than they are. That is a tool, a weapon, an opportunity, frankly, if you want to operate effectively in this space. I argue you have no other alternative other than humility. You have to acknowledge your ignorance. I am profoundly ignorant about what is going on here. I have been ignorant all the way through. It's been a journey to discovery, and every day I learn something new, and every day I find out about my own cognitive biases. Okay? Don't overestimate your own ability to comprehend what is being done to you. Test everything. Think for yourself. Do not believe me. Do not believe Ryan. Do not believe...
What?
Think for yourself. That is our only way to get through this. Okay, now I'm going to talk... Now I'm going to waste my last little fragment of time. We're dealing with some very sophisticated, well-developed techniques to destroy this movement. They are being actively deployed against us. And I'm going to give you one example, just one out of many. The strategic and tactical landscape here for defeating us is rich and detailed and staffed. Now, the good news is, remember that PSYOPs group? 800 soldiers. We got more than 800 soldiers sitting here in this one room. Okay? Bad jacketing is a well-known technique for destroying organizations and movements like ours at this more advanced stage of development. It is done again and again and again. It's known as snitch jacketing, bad rapping, creating suspicion by spreading rumors or unsubstantiated accusation that people are undercovers, infiltrators, snitches, and cooperators. When a member of a group or a paid infiltrator accuses others without cause or evidence of being an infiltrator, threat, or security risk, that's bad jacketing. Sometimes this is done out of fear of paranoia. Normally, those who lay jackets on others want to consolidate their control over a movement and feel threatened in their authority. Bad jacketing is a favorite PSYOPs, fifth-generation warfare tactic of the state for destroying more mature movements of liberation, like the one we're dealing with right now. Decentralized organizational structures can partially neutralize the bad jacketing strategy because it becomes whack-a-mole. This is what was discovered with Al-Qaeda after the assassination. Al-Qaeda became completely decentralized, autonomous pods with some broad strategic objectives, frankly, kill Americans. Okay? And it's impossible to track down all those cells because they're no longer linked. They're completely decentralized. Centralized structures enable these classic strategies.
I've been a human rights activist for almost 20 years. As a documentary filmmaker, I've been on the front lines of many of our nation's biggest scandals and protests. From that perspective, I've been an eyewitness to the rise and fall of numerous people-powered movements. Nearly every organized resistance I've been a part of has ended just inches from victory for the same critical mistake. Infighting. When members of the same group turned against each other. It often begins with whispers about the most prominent spokespeople of the cause. These rumors typically sound like, I hear John is controlled opposition. Or, some people are saying Jane is compromised. While the use of infiltrators and agitators is a very real thing, I've yet to experience one scenario where such a label was accurately applied. And suspiciously, these labels are always branded on the people who are making the most progress. With the degradation of their reputation goes their contribution to your life. Prior to social media, people actually sat down to dialogue through their differences. Today, without solid evidence or sufficient inquiry, we go directly to our keyboards to vent our suspicions. Even after the rumor is proven false or simply fades away, some level of doubt and division always remains. This is all by design.
Part of what allowed so many people to walk away from Assange was some of the Me Too allegations mm-hmm. that had surfaced and that were ultimately discredited, stuck in people's minds.
The voices of propaganda are masterful at this game. They knowingly run a false story, then retract it, knowing the lie will reach millions, but very few will see the correction.
Tony Barrett's religious faith is being called into question again. She belongs to this People of Praise group, which the Southern Poverty Law Center has labeled them a hate group. When I stated that People of Praise had been deemed a hate group, I just got them mixed up with another group. I conflated them.
Ah, okay. Yeah. That happens, you know, it's easy to do.
In the words of former CIA director William Casey, we'll know that our disinformation program is complete when everything the American public believes is false. The planting of divisive rumors is one of the most common tactics used in psychological warfare. As the lies bloom, like worker bees, well-intended citizens pollinate the masses with poisonous disinformation. What the gossiping bees fail to realize is that they themselves are doing the work of controlled opposition. They are literally, unwittingly, working on behalf of the very forces they believe they are resisting. Again, all of this is by design. While we've all been distracted by the latest trends and tragedies, everything that has influence on our behavior has been infiltrated by an agenda to control our thoughts. Whether their goal is to make us purchase a product, vote for a political party, or submit to experimental inoculations, there are forces at work who understand the functionalities of your mind far better than you do. Their goal is total control. But because they are the few and we are the many, they can only achieve total control through the age-old tactic of divide and conquer.
You're either with them or with us.
Never before have we been so divided. Divided by politics, religion, nation, state, race, class, gender, and now, vaccine status. To better understand how we got here, consider these three quotes from The Art of War by Sun Tzu. The supreme art of war is to subdue the enemy without fighting. Victorious warriors win first and then go to war. The secret lies in confusing the enemy so that he cannot fathom our real intent. Though Sun Tzu lived over 2,500 years ago, his work remains at the heart of our CIA as well as the Chinese Communist Party's strategy today. It's no coincidence that around the same era as Sun Tzu, the words "United we stand, divided we fall" were first recorded. It is unity that will save our communities.
As you see in the audience, Muslims, Christians, Jewish community, Democrats, Republicans, white, black, everyone all in between. This is the example of what you get when you choose to attack all members of the human family.
Our greatest power is our numbers. Hence, the relentless effort to shatter us into broken fragments. As their agendas are being exposed, the dividers will stop at nothing to cover their crimes against humanity. They have bunkers. All we have is each other. The good news is, that's all we need. Though we are intrinsically interconnected, our minds are being wired to obsess on our differences. Contrary to social indoctrination, we do not have to be ideologically aligned to stand together. We don't even have to like each other. There is only one thing that we must agree on, that freedom is our birthright. Now is the time to let go of whatever it is you're holding on to that keeps you divided from your friends, family, and fellow humans. Rise above all the micro-dramas and distractions to see that a much bigger story is unfolding. Swallow your pride. Humble yourself. Let it go. I'm not suggesting that we look the other way when someone is clearly thwarting our forward momentum. There are people who deserve to be called out by name, especially those who are undermining our trust in each other. But even then, we should remember that there is a human life being affected by our words. We've been so conditioned to believe we are powerless, that we've become careless with our power, like toddlers with loaded guns. How many times do we need to shoot our own foot till we realize that the power is in our hands? The only thing that can stop us at this point is us. We've all been lied to, scammed, fooled, tricked, conned, and coerced. Yes, it sucks. But here we are, wiser and stronger than we were just 3 years ago. This is the moment for us to activate our innate ability to create solutions. That can only happen through the awareness of symbiosis, defined as a mutually beneficial relationship between different groups. All of life depends on relationships. Every living thing is in communication, from the stars to the planets, the earth, the plants, the elements, the insects, the animals, the humans, and every cell within us. Real change out there begins with real change inside. The question is, how bad does it have to get before we're willing to change?
In conclusion, you do not have to be a victim. You can learn this technology. It is not expensive. You can deploy it. Every single one of you can be leaders and warriors. You do not have to be victims. As I said, right here, we have more than 800 soldiers. Okay? Learn these methods. You learn the defensive and the offensive techniques, and I'm glad to continue to try to help you as we walk along this path and become a force to be reckoned with, which will be able to overcome the globalist efforts to control and turn us into indentured servants. I thank you so much for your time. I hope this has been helpful, and thank you for walking the journey with me.